Hey, it's Jeffrey Craner. So my co-writer, Joseph Fink, and I have written three novels set in the world of Night Vale. There's Welcome to Night Vale, a novel, which answers the question, who's the man in the tan jacket and what does he want with our city? There's It Devours, in which we go inside the joyous congregation of the smiling god. And the most recent novel is called The Faceless Old Woman Who Secretly Lives in Your Home, and it is about a faceless old woman who secretly lives in your home. This last one is our favorite book that we've written together. The ending is shocking, and the journey getting there is full of adventures, laughs, and horror. But aside from Night Vale, we've written other books too. Joseph wrote a middle grade novel, The Halloween Moon, about a Halloween-obsessed girl named Esther Gold, who goes out trick-or-treating for one last year, only to find her town under the thrall of a mysterious presence. Plus, Joseph and Meg Bashwinner, co-host of Good Morning Night Vale, published The First 10 Years, a hilarious and sweet he-said-she-said memoir about the first 10 years of a relationship. And finally, my fellow Within the Wires writer Janina Mathewson and I wrote a novel called You Feel It Just Below the Ribs, a fictional autobiography in an alternate 20th century that chronicles one woman's unusual life, including the price she pays to survive and the cost her choices hold for the society she is trying to save. So yeah, check out the books we've written. Just go to welcometonightvale.com, click on books for a complete list of everything we've been writing. That's welcometonightvale.com, click on books. Or just wherever you get your books, just search our names. And hey, thanks.
Look to the obelisk. We don't know where it came from, but it's attracting a lot of cats. Welcome to Night Vale. Happy New Year, Night Vale! Last night's fireworks extravaganza at the Night Vale Harbor and Waterfront Recreation Area was beautiful. This is despite the fact that the Night Vale Harbor and Waterfront Recreation Area never really existed, and was in no way a multi-million dollar failure of municipal planning. And just because the only things remaining on the premises are several large piles of rubble and a red sign reading, "Nothing is here, nothing was ever here," does not mean that they failed to correctly use tax dollars to build a harbor, a waterfront, or a recreation area. Anyway, the fireworks over the city-made sign were lovely. Happy 2013! Ladies and gentlemen, surely you have noticed there's a man in a tan jacket. Countless residents have seen him, but no one can seem to remember exactly what he looks like. Just that he has a tan jacket and a deer skin suitcase. And he has been spotted all over town. But no one can quite recall specifically where they saw him or what time of day it was, just that they saw him. Frances Donaldson, the tall woman with the green eyes who manages the antiques mall, thinks maybe the man in the tan jacket is simply a shared dream. But I know I saw him, Night Vale. I know what I saw. This man couldn't possibly be a dream. He was so vivid. His eyes were... well, his nose and his chin. Oh, I can just see. I just can't remember. The man was clear as day. He had a tan jacket and a deer skin suitcase. He can't be a dream, can he? Please, call in, listeners, and let us know if you can remember anything else. This Monday through Friday is the annual Night Vale Career Fair at the Downtown Convention Center. There will be dozens of booths representing phony local businesses that will take your resumes and photos via hidden surveillance cameras and conduct sample interviews designed to badger you into implicating yourself in nefarious activities. First-generation Night Vale residents, particularly those whose parents were originally born in Maine, Massachusetts, Canada, Micronesia, and Suriname, are strongly encouraged to attend. This year's keynote speaker is an audio tape of droning moans laden with subliminal tips about achieving personal prosperity and how to come clean about the terrible things you have done, you cretin. Last year's fair featured several very high-profile arrests and exciting door prizes. Tickets are $25, or $15 if you still have working retinas to scan. Over the weekend, Teddy Williams, owner of the Desert Flower Bowling Alley and Arcade Fun Complex, sent us some security camera footage of what he believes to be the first ever glimpse of citizens of the underground city deep below Lane 5. Early Saturday morning, Fun Complex cameras picked up blurry motion near the soda machine. The footage is quite fuzzy and difficult to discern. Perhaps it is merely rats or raccoons digging through an uncovered supply of junk food. But it is, of course, much more likely that a lost nation of people living in the bowels of a small town bowling alley are finally revealing themselves, taking our food supplies and preparing for war. Teddy told us that he believes this city to be thousands strong and ready to move into Night Vale, ready to take arms against the upper world, as they probably call us, ready to conquer this heaven and become the righteous owners of our sun-soaked precious land, we assume. It takes very little extrapolation to believe that they worship a god named Huntokar, who demands sacrifice to keep their underground city thriving in the absence of nourishing sunlight. And a fair assumption is that they are ruled by a child king, recently coronated, who is too weak to rein back the generals intent on marching upon us in war. Ladies and gentlemen, if you care for your community, your town, your Night Vale, like I do, you will arm yourselves. You will rally your neighbors to militia. You will point fingers at those who do not wish to fight and have them rounded up into pens. This is no time for the weak. We are at a presumptive war with a projected enemy whom we cannot yet see or even be certain of, but who are probably bloodthirsty giants. If you would like to learn more about starting a militia, simply learn to be a true American. That's how you'll know. And remember, Night Vale is at war. Your careless talk cost lives. They know we are here, and it seems somebody talked. Who was it, Night Vale? Was it Steve Carlsberg? Did Steve Carlsberg talk? Maybe a group of good citizens should go have a chat with Steve and find out what he's been saying and to whom. Stay by your radios, listeners. We will report further as events warrant. More now on the man in the tan jacket. Old Woman Josie called to tell us that her angel friends are saying that the deer skin suitcase is full of flies. The angels would not tell her more, explaining that knowing more would jeopardize her eternal soul as well as their own statuses as angels. They did not want to mess with that. Old Woman Josie added that she thinks the man in the tan jacket is just a salesman of some sort. A fly salesman, she bets, wandering from town to town with polished shoes and a suitcase full of flies. "Oh, I just can't stand those fly salesmen," she said, ringing my doorbell at 3 a.m., wanting to show me samples and asking for glasses of orange milk. The Night Vale Daily Journal has announced that, despite cost-cutting measures and mandatory subscription laws, it is facing a huge budget shortfall this year.
"We cannot pay back our printers or our delivery crews," said editor Leanne Hart in a prepared statement whispered through my mail slot late last night. "And we have already had to banish much of our staff into the sand wastes of the desert."
She went on to explain that this budget shortfall has nothing to do with the reported lavish birthday party she threw for herself in Night Vale Stadium, featuring a lazy river made entirely of champagne and a birthday cake topped with very thin slices of moon rock. In an addendum, she tapped in Morse code on my bathroom window. She said that the journal is considering all new sources of income, including creating additional advertising space and mugging Night Vale citizens, and that I shouldn't mention the whole birthday party thing after all, because she was never even born. So how could she have had a birthday party? She spent the rest of the night tapping out the phrase, "Birthdays are a fake idea," which actually was a pretty relaxing sound to fall asleep to. Hey, kids and parents! Time once again for our Children's Fun Fact Science Corner. Today, we are exploring common birds and their meanings. An eagle indicates that an important phone call is impending. A sparrow says that you should beware the sea and sell any stocks invested in food-based companies. A pigeon means that your mother has died, or that all is well. It's a bit uncertain. A hummingbird tells us that the physical constants of the universe are slowly degrading and may someday shift, invalidating the laws of physics and instantly wiping out the universe as we know it while simultaneously creating an entirely new universe in a single transcendent moment of genocide and genesis. As for hawks, well, no one knows what hawks mean or if they are real. Have you ever even seen a hawk? Of course not. No one has. This has been our Children's Fun Fact Science Corner. And now a word from our sponsors. Today's program has been sponsored by the physical act of gulping. For thousands of years, gulping has been there for human beings when they needed an expressive gesture of the throat. Whether you want to indicate nervousness about an upcoming test or appointment, fear of the faceless old woman who lives secretly in your home, or just want to ingest milk faster than with regular swallowing, gulping is the way to go. Forget sweating. Never mind shivering. Sneezing? Ugh. When you think physical actions, think gulping. Gulp now and receive a complimentary prize package, which will be conveniently buried in an unmarked spot somewhere in the scrublands. Find it and it's yours.
Goop.
This just in. The Sheriff's Secret Police has just issued an important request related to our earlier story. They ask that all Nightvale citizens be on the lookout for a man in a tan jacket carrying a deerskin suitcase. He is about 5 or 6 foot something, probably with hair and normal human features. He was last seen early this morning on the unlit gravel-paved stretch of Oak Trail, near Larry Leroy's house, out on the edge of town. The man in the tan jacket was reportedly seen in the moonless black, standing next to a refrigerator engulfed in flames. He was smoking a cigarette. Witnesses claimed he stared at them as they slowly drove by on the darkened country road. But despite the prolonged eye contact, the witnesses still could not describe his face to police. 2 days prior, the man in the tan jacket was seen standing in a park. No one can remember which park, but they're fairly certain it was a park. Or maybe it was in the Old Navy outlet store or near the invisible clock tower. It wasn't quite clear. Either way, the man was definitely standing with his deerskin suitcase and staring up at the sun for hours. He followed the bizarre glowing orb, which is somehow the source of all light and life, and oh god, the sun! Are you kidding us with this thing? We don't even have time for that mystery! The secret police then interjected. Secret police officials added that if you see a man in a tan jacket carrying a deerskin suitcase, write down what you see immediately. The city council has temporarily lifted their ban on pens and pencils so that citizens can help law enforcement on this matter. Once you write down your encounter, call 911 immediately, or simply say, "Hey, police," out loud. We're all being monitored almost 24/7, so they'll probably hear you just fine. Let's go now to traffic. There is a car. It's not in Nightvale, or even in the desert that cradles our little town. It's out somewhere beyond that. There are many cars there, but I'm speaking only about one. Blue, squarish, with tires and windows, and an engine that works most of the time. A woman is driving it, and she is also glancing whenever she can at the child in the passenger seat. He is a child, but he is 15. You understand. She is glancing at him, but she is not saying anything, and he is not saying anything either. She wants to cry. Or she wants to push him out of the car. Or she wants to go back in time and insist on using a condom. Only she would never do that. She wouldn't change any of this, really. Not for all the money, piles of money, some of it defunct money from defunct and absent governments. She wouldn't give any of this back. So she drives her car, blue, squarish, with tires and windows and an engine that works most of the time. And she glances at the 15-year-old child, and neither of them speaks. This has been traffic. And now, the weather. We'll be right back. ladies and gentlemen. During the break, I received a call from someone claiming to be an angel. Now, I don't know if this was a prank or not, as no one has ever actually proven that they've talked to an angel. Even Old Woman Josie's word is just that, her word. But listeners, I think this had to have been an angel because my face became hot and the voice filled every part of my body. And tears were flowing down my face the instant I touched the phone receiver, and the whole room was lit up in, well, how can I describe this? A bright black beam illuminating every atomic detail. And the angel, if that is indeed who called, the angel said that the man in the tan jacket with the deerskin suitcase was from a place underneath the earth, underneath our knowledge, a vast world right below our feet. I asked for more, but the angel, if that is indeed who called, whispered only, "A flower in the desert." And it filled me with ecstasy and dread. Then the call ended, and the black ray of truth was gone, and I was breathless and alone. And, dear listeners, the silence. Well, it was unlike any silence you have ever not heard. So our mystery man remains unfound, and I'm still not sure why an angel would have to use a telephone. But, for now, we can only know what we know, and that is that we don't know. Thank you again for listening, listeners. I look forward to another fine year, a new year, well spent with all of you out there. Stay tuned next for two commercial-free hours of E Sharp. Good night, Night Vale. Be alert and write down everything you cannot comprehend. Until next time.
Welcome to Night Vale is a production of Night Vale Presents. It is written by Joseph Fink and Jeffrey Craner and produced by Joseph Fink. The voice of Night Vale is Cecil Baldwin. Original music by Disparition. All of it can be found at disparition.info or at disparition.bandcamp.com. This episode's weather was Invocation of the Duke by Da Ka Hip Hop Orchestra. Find out more at myspace.com/DaKa. Comments, questions, email us at info@welcometonightvale.com. Or follow us on Twitter at Night Vale Radio. Check out welcometonightvale.com for more information on this show, as well as amazing and weird Night Vale stuff you can buy. And while you're there, consider clicking the donate link. It's what keeps this show running. Today's proverb: biologically speaking, we are all made up of smaller people.
From the creators of Welcome to Night Vale, Alice Isn't Dead, and Within the Wires comes a new Audible original. Unlicensed. In the outskirts of Los Angeles, where the cul-de-sacs and strip malls sprawl into the desert, two unlicensed private investigators scrape by on whatever small cases come their way. But when a teenage girl pleads for them to take the strangest case of their career, this unlikely pair, with no resources and no backup, will follow a trail of seemingly unconnected cases, which will lead them to a ransom, a murder, a mysterious wellness center, and a conspiracy that might go all the way to the governor.
It's important to catch small fires early. They don't stay small for long.
Unlicensed. Available now at audible.com/unlicensed.